So this might be a sore spot for some of you. But how are you doing in your brackets? You know, last week when Kentucky, the Wildcats, were up against the North Carolina Tar Heels, there was all kinds of conversation about what was going to happen in the game. There was all kinds of conversation. The city was abuzz with stats and scores and talk about players and how they were going to do. And when Kentucky lost to the Tar Heels, there was almost this collective groan that could be heard throughout the city. No, not our Cats. Not our Cats. They're not going down. You know, there was a woman by the name of Ernestine Barr. Some of you may know Ernestine. Ernestine was the director of the RCA process, the Journey of Faith, at our neighboring parish of Blessed Mother on 22nd and 23rd Street for many years. Ernestine made this great connection between sports and church. And the connection was, she saw it at a Friday night football game one fall. And the connection was this: she realized that as she was in the stands on that Friday night between this big game between the Owensboro Catholic High School Aces and the Davis County Panthers, that there were family and friends, there were fellow church members who were just up in the stands, you know, yelling and screaming and pushing their team on. You know, yelling and screaming and just vying for their team as they would watch the football, you know, being passed back and forth up and down the field. And when the Aces won, she says, you know, there was pure pandemonium. There was just pure excitement and joy as, you know, you watched as this team had gone on to victory. But then she noticed come Sunday morning, some of those same people that she was in the stands with on Friday night, her friends and family and her neighbors and those of us who perhaps could have been there too, she noticed that that joy, that excitement that was there when that ball was being passed up and down the field, so somehow so quickly dissipated. That those individuals who were in those same stands, who are now in the pews, didn't have that same excitement. You know, as Jesus Christ, they were looking at how he had passed from death to life. They weren't responding. You know, where was that same response, she thought? Where was that same joy and that same feeling that had been there on Friday night? Why wasn't it there on Sunday morning? What had happened to it? You know, why were people so reluctant to be able to respond? Why were people so reluctant to be able to say amen? Why were people just standing there in the pew, you know, with no hymnal in hand, with very little response and very little care, you know, for Jesus? This Sunday, we're coming to a conclusion of our Lenten preaching series that's been entitled Weighed Down. This Weighed Down series, we've been looking at what is it in our life that's weighing us down? What are the rocks? What are the pebbles? What are the boulders that we've been carrying around that have been keeping us from truly being able to celebrate and to worship God? You know, we named our rock, we named our pebble, we named our mountain, our boulder, whatever it is. People named it impatience. People named it intolerance. People named it no care, no charity. And hopefully in some way, like Lazarus, over these past few weeks, we've come out from behind our rock. We've come out from behind our tomb. Maybe we've been untied, unraveled just a little bit where we can truly see the power and the belief of Jesus. You know, the way that we're going to be lifted up, the way that we're going to be brought to new life and be brought out of what it is that's weighing us down, is we have to begin to believe in the power of Jesus. Jesus is the only one who's going to lift us up and bring us to new life. You know, we see the power in this gospel. We see the power of Jesus as he gets word that his good friend Lazarus is gravely ill. And after he gets word that Lazarus is gravely ill, what does he do? He stays away for 2 more days. And when he gets home to the community, when he comes back into the village where Martha and Mary and his sisters are at, Martha comes out to greet him. And Martha says to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Mary as well hears that Jesus is home. And she too goes out to greet him. And she falls at the feet of Jesus. And she says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And the Jews who see Martha and Mary in their great distress, and as they're weeping and crying, they say, "Could not the one who had opened the eyes of the blind man had done something so that this man could have been saved?" And then Jesus wept. And many of us believe that Jesus is weeping in grief over Lazarus' friend. But really his weeping is about the fact that Martha and Mary and the others who he's been teaching and preaching and healing and showing his power over the past 3 years, they don't believe. They don't believe that he has the power to do something to raise Jesus, to raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, Jesus could have moved that stone by himself. But what did Jesus do? Jesus said, "I'm telling you to roll away the stone." So he gets people to help him to roll away the stone. And then Jesus goes even further as the dead man Lazarus, as he says to him, "Come out, Lazarus, come out." And the dead man comes out, you know, all mummified and tied up, bound up, hand and foot with burial bands. What did Jesus say? He says, "Untie him and let him go." You see, Jesus had the way that he brought them to the power of the resurrection was he got them involved in the miracle. He got them involved in the miracle from rolling away the stone to having him to help them to untie him and let him go. And from that, what happened to the community? Martha and Mary and the Jews and others began to believe in him. We come to new life. We come to raise up what it is that's weighing us down when we get involved in the life of Jesus. When we come to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. It's when we're willing to get out of the stands and get out onto the field and play the game. It's when we're willing to get out of the bleachers and get on the court and help to run that ball up and down the field. It's when we're willing to get out of our pews and get into the aisle and greet our neighbor. It's when we're willing to get out of the church and get out into the streets and help to move a people. I remember a couple years ago, Pope Francis went to the prison for Holy Thursday to wash prisoners' feet. And in the homily, he said this. He said that priests around the world need to get out of their sacristies and get into the streets. He said that priests need to get out of their rectories and get into people's homes. He said that priests need to get out of their office and get themselves into prisons and other places where care can be felt. I say we all need to get into that. We all need to get involved in the life of Jesus Christ. And when we get involved in the life of another, we see the resurrection. It's when we get involved in one another's life that we see the power of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to encourage us to do at the end of this preaching series is this. If you want to be raised to new life, stop looking so much at your own problems, your own troubles. Stop looking so much at your own rocks and your own circumstances. And look at the circumstances and the rocks and the troubles of others' lives. For when we do that, when we help one another, we see the power of the resurrection. When we help one another, we see things brought to new life and we're raised up. We help one another to raise the dead. We are untied. We are let go. We can walk in a new way. And from that then, church, we could raise our hand and celebrate. We can sing out and respond. And we can fully worship Jesus Christ. So let's be lifted up. Let's be raised to new life.
In order to rise like